We're calling Ben Fulford.
Hello?
Hi, Ben.
How are you?
Good. You ready to go, buddy?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. On the Skype is Ben Fulford. He speaks 7.5 languages. He's a Canadian living in Tokyo, Japan. He's an international man of mystery. You know him. You love him. The former Asia-Pacific Bureau Chief of Forbes magazine. Now you can catch him at BenjaminFulford.net. Welcome, my guest, Ben Fulford.
Well, thanks for having me on. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to first give you a compliment for camaraderie. I know you don't like compliments, but, for me, I'm a comedian. I got to stay sharp. I got to write jokes every day. You really do stay on top of the market moving scoops. You got contacts all over the place that you keep at an arm's length. I'm sure every Japanese journalist is like you. They have gumption. They have integrity. When was the last time you went to the Japanese Foreign Correspondents Club? How are those people?
You mean the Foreign Correspondents Club of Japan, right?
Yes.
I don't go there very often because they don't have any really good press conferences anymore. the place has been kind of taken over. What happens is most of the journalists left work for the big places like Bloomberg, Reuters, and they are all on a tight leash. So it's a very controlled place. But every once in a while, I can go there and ask awkward questions of these people. So that's why I stay a member.
Yeah. So it's more like a poaching ground for the blue chip newspapers?
Well, you know, it used to be a free press club, and there were a lot of prosperous, you know, freelance journalists and stuff, but there's been a huge drop in the amount of foreign correspondents here because the traditional media industry is running out of money. And if they do have money, they've moved people from Tokyo to China. Mm.
So I keep reading articles about either the Great Reset. There's so many different entities fighting for power, organizations, groups. It's hard to know what's going on. I don't know what these things are when I read them in news articles. Jessara, Nessara. So the National Economic Security and Recovery Act is Nessara. They're battling Jessara. Do you know what I'm talking about? What are these things?
Yeah, there was, this was some plan that was put out years ago as a proposal. And then some con artist lady ran with it and got, you know, millions of dollars of donations from all over the world. It's wishful thinking. Okay, that's not going to happen. But something is going to happen. There is going to be some kind of reboot. It's just not going to be along those lines.
I think it's important as this information war rages on that we understand the casualties that are incurring. And a good friend of mine called me very distressed when this happened. There's a lady called Brandy Vaughn. She lives in Los Angeles. She lived in Los Angeles. She was a Merck executive that wrote, and I just read this last night, that she wrote right before her death, "I'm not suicidal. I'm in perfect health. I love my son, Bastian." And she just died December 7, 2020. Have you heard about this case?
Just very briefly, but what I do know is that the battle is now raging over vaccines because, you know, the Russians have sent proof and the British have confirmed it that the mRNA vaccines that they're pushing actually change people's genes and brain structures. They can do that. So they're trying to remove certain genes associated with religious belief. The details are in my weekly report this week, and it's available. You know, you can get it if you pay $11 a month. You can get it every Monday, but if you wait until Thursday, you can get it for free. I let people repost it. But anyway, the details are there. But they're using this CRISPR technology to alter human DNA. And there was, you know, the Russians sent me a presentation by in the terms part of U.S. secret military presentation where they talked about removing a certain gene associated with religious fundamentalism, and they proposed, you know, injecting everybody in the Middle East with this. And then there's another one that was a description of how they could use this CRISPR technology, how they actually use this technology to change the brain structure and behavior of rats. And what they did, you know, according to this presentation, it was to fight addiction, you know, but what they did was that they increased dopamine production, the part of the brain that produces dopamine. So they made them more happy, regardless of what's happening externally. So you could use this technology so that people would be happy and passive and obedient because they always feel good, no matter, you know, what was happening. And so there's very real evidence they're trying to use these vaccines to permanently change our DNA in order to make us more passive and obedient and happy.
Genetically modified.
The actual technical details are out there. This is not science fiction.
Yeah, you know, let's be genetically modified and then owned. Does that give the corporations ownership over our bodies if they, you know, if GMO soybeans blow over into your neighbor's farm, they sue you because those are patented soybeans. Is the same thing going to, the same legal framework going to come over our bodies?
They'll definitely try that. You know, they already issue bonds based on our birth certificates. You know, they figure out how much money a person's going to earn in their lifetime, and they put out a bond with that as that, you know, lifetime slave labor as a backing. A friend of mine has actually seen them being in Singapore, you know, being traded.
Yeah. You mentioned the last time we spoke about Jane Burgermeister being a casualty.
Yes.
Can I play a clip? This is what Jane Burgermeister said on Project Camelot.
Okay, Vienna. It is, however, a significant place, as it turns out. It is the place where Baxter contaminated 72 kilos of vaccine material with the live bird flu, and so nearly triggered a global pandemic just a few months ago in February. This attempt to trigger a pandemic failed because of the alertness of people in the Czech Republic who detected it in a laboratory and biotest. However, it has now turned out that Baxter still has at least a large amount of that 72 kilos of bird flu, and we're coming to a point where we have only perhaps a few weeks until the government here in Austria and other governments around the world intend to start injecting people with so-called swine flu vaccine material, which we have every reason to fear is going to be a big hazard to our health. And has been.
Now, on May 16, 2020, allegedly she tweeted, "Trump says there will be a warp speed coronavirus jab for all Americans the end of the year. Bill Gates is funding the vaccine, says it's for 7 billion plus people. That is all the people around the world, except a few million, like royals."
Okay, I gotta tell you something though. I was in contact with Jane Burgermeister, and then I lost contact, and some friends of her told me that she had been killed, and then somebody kind of carried out identity theft, took over her accounts, and there was a fraudulent Jane Burgermeister out there, you know. And I personally, you know, gave this information to MI6, and I believe they've taken action. But this is the sort of thing that they do. They find, you have a whistleblower like that, they kill them, and then they have someone fraudulently sort of pretend to be them to continue their online presence, but, you know, with a changed agenda. But that may have been changed again now. You know, I haven't heard back from MI6, but I did tell them that the people who killed and replaced Jane Burgermeister were a lead to the top levels of this cabal we're fighting.
Mm. So Joe Biden was just inaugurated, you know, either in a secret laboratory or maybe Castle Rock Productions. But you've reported clear voter fraud that served to install Biden and Kamala Harris in some sort of trade deal to China to keep the U.S. bankrupt corporation solvent, missing most notably February 2020. There was a payment deadline to China on U.S. corporate debt that we missed. Is there any news in this regard? Is China pleased with Joe Biden? What's going on?
Well, you know, clearly what happened is Henry Kissinger and the Rockefellers basically, you know, I've confirmed this with two different sources. One is the so-called Dragon Family, and the other is a major Asian secret society that has 55 million members, including Xi Jinping. And they both told me that the reason why they stopped sending stuff to U.S. West Coast ports in February of 2020. And then they resumed in August of 2020. And now the ports are jammed. So, these, you know, there's pictures on the internet of ships lined up along Long Beach. Those are container ships. Those aren't military vessels. And I asked them, why are you giving, you know, sending stuff to these people again? And they told me. They offered them Japan, Australia, New Zealand, ASEAN, and Korea in exchange for continued financing for their corporation. Of course, the people of these regions weren't, consulted, but they did announce a trade, a deal. It was a RCEP, I think it was called, where they were going to integrate all the economies. So it was public. It was in all the newspapers. They're going to make, you know, everything fit to Chinese standards. So that's what they did. And the Chinese are saying, of course, if you renege on this deal, if you put in Trump and break the deal, then we're going to invade Taiwan. And that's why they couldn't go ahead with a Trump presidency, even though he won the election. But at the same time, the U.S. military is not accepting Biden. And you can see that because he's not allowed to, occupy the White House, and they can't occupy the Congress or the Senate, and they can't use military planes. So, you know, we have to find a non-Biden, non-Trump person to reach a compromise between the U.S. military and the Chinese. And we've got to get rid of the Rockefellers. Their reign of evil has got to end. I mean, among other things, for example, they deliberately contaminated our daily, medicines and foods with cancer-causing agents. This is proven. This is not speculation. And they've issued, this current fake pandemic has been traced to them. So, they've got to go. And I really do talk to the real FSB, the real CIA, the real, et cetera, MI6. And they have names, and there is stuff happening, okay? It's going to take time, but we've got concrete lists of names, people. For example, an obvious one is the Rockefeller Foundation. Go there, go to their archives, find out everything, and KKR, Colbert, Kravitz, Roberts, that big hedge fund. You can go there, raid their offices. It's happening, but this is a very complex maneuver. It's going to take time, but and I know there's been so many dates have come and gone. I'm just telling you what the Russians are telling me. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying that's the Russians are saying this pandemic hysteria will be over by May.
Well,
and the reason why they're saying that is because the objective medical data shows that there's no increase in deaths in 2020. The mortality rate is the same as always. So this whole thing is fake, and it's designed to impose gene-altering vaccines to make people more passive and obedient. This has been proven. They have the technical information. We know the names. We know who's doing it, and we're hunting them down.
I want to, that's one opinion. I can also get an opinion from Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, came out. Absolutely. Wait till you see it. Don't believe it till you see it. Absolutely. We're in a war, and this is what we're trying to do. But they have their side, and they're going to do their others. They're going to counterattack, and we'll see how it ends.
It's fascinating to me. listening to the Hillary Clinton podcast, literally everything she says is provably untrue. And it's amazing how packed it is. It's everything's on light. You know, a former CIA director, William Casey, said that we know our job is done when everything that the American people know to be a true is a lie. And Hillary Clinton's podcast is a fascinating artifact. I want to play this clip here.
But we now know that not just him, but his enablers, his accomplices, his cult members have the same disregard for democracy. Do you think we need a 9/11 type commission to investigate and report everything that they can pull together and explain what happened?
She's talking about the Trump presidency, that we need a 9/11 type commission. He hates democracy. This is Liz Warren talking about the 2016 election.
What the Democratic National Committee did meant this election was rigged.
Yeah, I think it was.
So Liz Warren says 2016, it's rigged. You know, Trump, he hates democracy. We need a 9/11 commission report to find out how Trump's ties were to Russia. This is somebody, the president of my university, Bob Carey, about the 9/11 commission in 2009.
If it's an act of war and it's hiding things, which everyone on your commission knew that the Pentagon was changing their stories, lying to you, and it's a cover-up of an act of war, and under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, it's treason. So unless we get to the very bottom of it, then we're still talking a treasonous exposition.
Because the problem is it's a 30-year-old conspiracy.
No, I'm talking about 9/11.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you are. You mean at this...
In 2009, 9/11 is a 30-year-old conspiracy, and Hillary brings that up as the gold standard to find out why Trump doesn't like democracy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all I can say is that there is a shrinking group of Kool-Aid drinkers who believe all this stuff that's in their newspapers. but, you know... It's not going to be decided by the people walking in the streets wearing these uncomfortable masks for no medical reason. It's going to be decided at the top levels of the intelligence and military agencies, and they are definitely on the case. They're not going to let these people get away with it this time. But we're talking about people who have been in power literally for thousands of years, and they're not going quietly into the night. It's a serious battle. It's not over by any means. But I guarantee you, I talk directly to these agencies, and they are on the case. And we're going to continue fighting until we finish these bastards off once and for all.
There's a great comic. He's in Los Angeles. His name is Jimmy Dore. He does better work than all of CNN, all of network television, and he just follows, you know, what is a liberal? In America, if you're liberal, what does it mean anymore? And he has a great little speech here.
And so right now, they can't defend it anymore. Black people rioted all summer, and now white people are rioting. They can't defend that system, so they gotta tell you it's Putin. They gotta tell you it's racism.
You know? There's some people out there.
Now, they need fear. They need an external enemy, right? And that's why it was the Russians, the communists, and then it was the terrorists, and now it's the pandemic. They use fear to herd people into obedience, and that's their tactic. And, you know, that's what we're fighting against.
So Biden was installed because if Trump was installed, China was going to invade Taiwan. You know, so what they said is, don't worry, we'll vaccinate everybody, we'll tag all of our sheep so that we can blockchain trade them. You know, China has this facial recognition software that they already built, which is a social, they have this whole social credit score system. I wonder if the face masks are disrupting their facial recognition technology. But a friend of mine, do you want to say something about that?
I don't think you're wearing face masks in China, but go on.
My friend Charlie Robinson talked about China's social credit score. I want you to respond. Is this true? Is this what they're doing?
Part of where they want it to go is into a social credit system. Now, this is all theoretical for us in the United States. We think of it as this may happen in the future. But in Xinjiang, China, it's actually happening right now. This is already in operation. They have hundreds of millions of not just closed circuit TV cameras, but facial recognition cameras that are throughout all of China, but specifically in Shenzhen. And what they're doing is they're rolling out this system where if a guy walks out of his house in China, in Shenzhen, he goes to get to the bus stop, gets on the bus, lights up a cigarette on the bus, minding his own business, smoking on the bus, which he's not supposed to do. Facial recognition cameras pick up this guy immediately, run him through the database, match him to who he is, ping his cell phone by the time he gets off of this bus that says, you have been found in violation of smoking on a bus. You've been fined the equivalent of, I don't know, $50. That money is deducted out of their account, which is sort of like a PayPal account, like a Weibo account. And by the time that guy gets off the bus, he's been found guilty. He's been fined. That money's been deducted out of his account, and his social credit score goes down. Now, what the social credit score does is it's a measure of who you are as a person, how compliant you are, how participatory you are in all sorts of government-related events and things like that. If you have a high score, that guy wants to go rent a car or rent a bicycle somewhere, he's going to get a discount on it because his score is very high. If your score gets too low, you're not even allowed to get on the high-speed train or airlines. You're literally locked out of the system.
That's Charlie Robinson on the Higher Side Chats. Is that what you understand the social credit score?
Unfortunately, that is true. And you know what the trend about it is that they're trying to select an elite in case they have to evacuate off planet or triage their population or something. So this is unfortunately what is happening. That's why the people in Taiwan are opposed to it, and a lot of the inside China itself too. At the highest levels, there's a lot of debate about this. But there is a fact that the Chinese have, the word "Boer," right? Boorish behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from German, acting like a farmer. And they've taken these people off the farms and into cities, and they still haven't learned, basic city manners. So, for example, at the Louvre Museum in Paris, they have signs only in Chinese telling people not to defecate on the floor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Chinese are trying to, train their people to be polite and civilized and obey manners. There is a kind of light side to it, but, I personally like my freedom, and I find that system revulsive. But there is a part of it where they're just trying to get people to stop spitting and shitting on the street and act more civilized. So there is a plus element to it as well.
Well, the reason why this raised red flags in my head is in America we have something called the Sixth Amendment right. Your Sixth Amendment right is to face your accuser. If you're accused of a crime in court, that cop has to show up, or that whoever accused you has to show up in court and look them in the eyes and say this. So I lived in New Orleans. They installed all these speed cameras everywhere. So the nanosecond you go, 36 in a 35 mile an hour zone, the robots take pictures of your car and send you tickets in the mail. So, I'm from Jersey. I'm hot-headed. I showed up to the, hearing. It wasn't even a court. And I just demanded, where's the robot? I said, where's the robot? They go, what are you talking about? We're showing you a video of you speeding. I go, I don't know if I was driving that day. Where's the robot? I get to face my accuser. But on the ticket that they printed for me, it was like John Carr. Like Mr. Officer Carr. C-A-R-R, gave me this ticket. I go, where's John Carr? And I followed the trail, and it led that he was in Phoenix, Arizona, on some whatever, on his own laptop or whatever, issuing me a ticket. And I go, he's got no jurisdiction here. So I got off of it. So this is kind of terrifying to me that they auto-deduct money from your account,
Yeah, no, they're definitely, these people are trying to push for a system of highly centralized, totalitarian control. And that is something that none of us want, except for the would-be controllers.
I mean, the most compliant people are not the most interesting. I got to say this, you know. But I do want certain compliance, you know, if America is found guilty of war crimes, for example. You know, I want, you know, war criminals to be locked up. And, you know, a lot of people are love Trump. They think he's our savior. But he spoke in the UN building about the International Criminal Court around Christmas time.
For similar reasons, the United States will provide no support and recognition to the International Criminal Court. As far as America is concerned, the ICC has no jurisdiction, no legitimacy, and no authority. The ICC claims near universal jurisdiction over the citizens of every country, violating all principles of justice, fairness, and due process. We will never surrender America's sovereignty to an unelected, unaccountable, global bureaucracy.
So it's just a bureaucracy, the war crimes in Afghanistan. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that, for example, when Trump offered diplomatic immunity to Soleimani to a meeting and then killed him, he opened a can of worms, okay? The reason why nations agreed not to kill each other's leaders is because it opens a Pandora's box. And by breaking that, you know, rule built up over centuries and millennia of international relations, he basically put a target on his back. You know, he's going out there and murdering people without due process, and claiming to be above the law. And that's why the entire world community wanted Trump out of there. Doesn't mean they welcome Biden. I mean, you know, they don't mention Biden in the newspapers here. I think they'll realize he's not really the president. But they want something else. They want a different alternative. And the U.S. military, I think, is on the case.
Was that him telling the U.S. military, I'm on your side even when you do war crimes, please protect me? Was that, you know, trust the plan? Was he saying, you can commit war crimes, I'll protect you, U.S. military. But then he's protecting the dark elements of it.
Yeah, that's why I say, I mean, you know, like, Trump has a lot of supporters, and they think that he's the man that's going to get the bad guys. But they're kind of blind to the dark side of Trump. They ignore the court cases against him for raping children that you know, they're in California courts. They're public record. It's not some kind of conspiracy stuff. So, you know, I always saw Trump as a lesser evil to Hillary Clinton, and he's a lesser evil to Joe Biden. But like I say, the world is insisting that neither of the above should be in charge. And then, and I'm lobbying hard for the United States Corporation to be dissolved and replaced with a new entity, United States of America, going from Argentina to Alaska, and build a new capital, maybe in Idaho, because it's the geographic center, I believe, of North America. Turn Washington, D.C. into like a museum and a tourist attraction, and build an entirely new capital, and then you'd have a country that would have the resources of Brazil and Canada and everything else, so you wouldn't have to borrow from China to stay in business, which is what is the state with the United States as it is now, with the United States Corporation. Mm. So, you know, this is what we're pushing for. United States of North of America, ranging from Argentina to Alaska, so it would emerge stronger and better. And then, of course, that would, you know, by building a new capital, you're moving away from the swamp. You're not even draining it. You're just not, you know, you're just abandoning it, and starting from scratch with the best, you know, standards from around the world. You know, rebuilding it much better than before. So it'd be like America 2.0, or actually 3.0, because the United States Republic that was founded in 1776 ended in 1871. When it was replaced by a corporation, a privately owned corporation. It's that corporation that's going bankrupt. But instead of going back to the U.S. Republic, which is just, limited we go to a new Republic of America that's much bigger and stronger and better than what was there before. That's what we're lobbying for.
It from me, being in the United States, I'm looking, it looks more bifurcated, it looks more, you know, divided than ever. You know, people really still believe that, you know, Trump won and then they want to fight. It's more like, looks like it's going into a civil war. I'm moving to Texas only because, you know, I prefer some of the laws there to the ones in the Northeast, you know. I want to say this. Mike Pompeo is Trump's right-hand man, and without getting too much into the weeds of, is Trump the savior? Did he really win? What's going on? You know, all the power struggles. Mike Pompeo said something so fascinating in a conference praising American journalists. This is what he said.
You've told everyone who will listen, indeed some who didn't want to, the truth about the CCP's atrocities against its own people in Xinjiang, the stain of the century. And you've done so despite the fact that the CCP has jailed the relatives of at least six RFA journalists in Xinjiang's internment camps and continues to threaten you and your families simply for doing your jobs.
So American journalists and their families are being threatened by the CCP for just, they just want to print the truth.
You know, they're so full of BS, those guys. Look, I tell you, I'm going back to the Foreign Correspondents Club of Japan, right? I was stabbed with a poison needle by a North Korean agent by the name of Mutsuaki Okubo, in front of witnesses. And I went to the police. They refused to take action. And the Foreign Correspondents Club wouldn't, you know, let me talk about one of their members being, you know, an attempted murder at them. But then when one of their guys, he beat up a taxi driver, and then they tried to file criminal charges on him, and they gave him a press conference. So these guys, you know, they look at the things, you know, happening in places like China or the Philippines. But if you talk about crimes in America against Americans, they won't touch it. And about those Xinjiang internment camps, they let the BBC in and they did a documentary about it. And, you know, they're re-education camps. They're not killing anybody. I'm not saying I agree that they should be sending people in for forcible re-education, but they're not killing anybody and they're allowed to go home on the weekends. So if you want to know what's really happening, they actually let the BBC in inside the camps and the BBC, you know, they're not 100% pure, but they did go there and did report. And if you want to see what's going on there, I recommend that report.
So if their social credit score goes down, they poop on too many mall floors, then they get re-educated?
No. This is about a Muslim minority that was, for many years, recruited by the CIA and the U.S. for anti-Chinese activities. They were trained in places like Colorado for like guerrilla warfare inside China, and it was to drain that swamp that the Chinese did this thing. That's my understanding of it.
You know, a lot of people who are still, you know, on the Trump bandwagon, they keep pointing to General Flynn, who's really gonna, you know, reinstall the Republic. This is what General Flynn said.
It'll be President Trump. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that he won this election hands down in a landslide, probably somewhere between 350 and 400 electoral college votes. And I'm confident we are, because we have the right people. We have the right plan and strategy. And, you know, it's a little bit of direct and a little bit of indirect that we're taking, and people are talking all the time to each other. So
it's a direct war. It's an indirect war. Is there, you know, two columns now where Trump is still signing executive orders in the shadows, and then Biden is not allowed in the White House?
Well, it's very clear that the U.S. military is not obeying Biden. And it's true that a lot of the guys I actually talked to still say that Trump was elected as president, so that's who they're going to obey. But what I'm trying to tell them is he's elected president of a bankrupt corporation. and you need to think outside of the box. And a lot of them are. I think they're waking up and realizing that this is bigger than just about restoring Republic. It's about building something even better than the Republic. Bigger and better.
Right. One person who is spoke as to why Trump wasn't granted victory is a guy called Simon Parks, and he sort of has an explosive piece of information here. I want to run this by you.
But this was more about a small suitcase or briefcase type bomb that we would call a dirty bomb with very dirty pollution. And it had just come to people's attention a matter of hours beforehand that they were not all accounted for. All right, so that's the topic I brought up. The plan was to have around about 26,000 National Guard, which they did, have fencing around the whole thing, to put Marines into the underground tunnels that absolutely crisscross that building and connect to other buildings. They'd seal that all off. And what was expected was literally to arrest the whole lot. They got them all in one place, and that's why they were going to do it. And I could just imagine that these satanic cabal are crazy enough, because you can't negotiate with them. They're just crazy enough to do something outrageous like that. But whatever it was that went wrong was big enough to pull the whole operation.
So the U.S. military was there to arrest, do the mass arrest that QAnon was promising. There were 20,000 troops in D.C., but the dark forces said, we'll get you with a dirty bomb if you do that.
Well, the other thing is that I have a friend who was actually there, for example, on January 6th, and he talked to people. They had people at every tunnel exit going into the Capitol building, and they were going to arrest and hang on the spot as traitors, the members of Congress and Senate who were behind this election steal, but they weren't there. They weren't there, and they're still not there. They can't. They don't dare go to Washington, D.C., because they will be arrested. And that's why they're filming it in a studio, probably in Norfolk, England, this so-called Biden presidency. But, yeah, I mean, I have people on the ground who were there that day, and they were going to arrest them and kill them on the spot. They were going to hang them right there as traitors. And they didn't show up, and they still dare not show up. But the thing that's kind of weird is that they really do seem to be able to replace these people. I don't know if it's computer graphics or not, but I once talked to an assassin for an Asian secret society, and he told me that he killed his, what he called his Jewish handler, only to have the same guy show up 2 weeks later. So there's something very strange going on here. I don't know if they're using, they say they use clones. I kind of don't like to, accept this sort of stuff without proper proof, but at the very least, they use body doubles who've been surgically altered so that they keep replacing these people. Or now they're using computer graphics. So there's a computer graphic Obama, there's a computer graphic Hillary Clinton, there's a computer graphic Biden. So what I've said is, you've got to go after their server farms. You've got to hit the headquarters of Google, Apple, Microsoft. You've got to get those central computers where they're putting out all this stuff if you want to put an end to it. But these people are not in Washington, D.C. They're hiding in bunkers.
So they're worried about China invading Taiwan if Trump is installed. They're worried about China not, going along with our, bankrupting the U.S. proper or invading us for money owed. Or they're going to set off a dirty bomb if they don't get their way. One person who called the U.S. military warning of a missing nuclear device was you, Ben Fulford. I have your phone call here.
We have been approached by an organization that calls itself the Gnostic Illuminati.
Can you spell that for me, sir?
And that four nuclear weapons were stolen. Now, these same people are now threatening Washington, D.C.
So you and Simon Parks are lining up on that piece of information.
Yeah, well, the thing is that Washington, D.C. is no longer a target because there's nobody there except the good guys. So there's no point, you know, doing that at this point in time. But yeah, there really were four nuclear weapons stolen from the Russian submarine Kursk that sank in the year 2000. And one of them was used for Fukushima, and the other three are still missing. And they are apparently under the control of this Gnostic Illuminati. These people claim to have started the Russian, French, and American revolutions, and now they're trying to start a world revolution, and they have these weapons.
You know, there's so much propaganda out there, you know. It's so cloudy, and maybe it's always darkest before the dawn, but, you know, right now the pandemic is raging on, and, you know, America has identified non-essential workers, essential workers. You're non-essential. You know, you can't get on the Nazi training the train, you know. Who's a non-essential person? That's grandma. You know, we're all walking around with masks. We can't see family. We can't go outside. You know, what? How would you clear up the fog? What's about to happen?
You know, there's stuff I can't talk about because we don't want the enemy to know what we're going to do. But we're going to end this. This whole fake pandemic is going to be shut down. And a lot of pharmaceutical executives are going down. And like I say, it's been this whole lockdown was everything that you're going through now was written in a May 2010 Rockefeller Foundation report. The whole plot was right there, and they're carrying it out, and they're able to do that because they control the corporate media and they control the Fortune 500 companies. So the battle is to take away their control of the Fortune 500 companies. And that basically means rounding up a few hundred people. And we're on the case. But I can't tell you more than that.
All right. Well, that's all my questions I want to get through today. Thanks for being on my podcast again, Ben, for the eighth time.
Look, just one final thing for everybody in this age of disinformation. Trust what you see with your own naked eyes. Whatever's closest to you is most important. Make sure your family, friends, everything like that is okay. And don't get too distracted by stuff you see on screens. And for God's sakes, take those damn masks off your face and stop choking yourself. All right.
Thanks, Ben. Take care, buddy. There he goes, Ben Fulford. Check out his stuff at benjaminfulford.net. I'd also urge you to go to erichollerbach.com, click the stand-up specials, and watch my comedy. Take care, everybody.